Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is God's Word and the Gospel reading from Mark chapter 4. We read again verses 40 and 41. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Well, I have a question for you today. What is it that you fear? Do you fear change? Do you fear the unknown? Do you fear that that secret that you have is going to be found out, whatever it is? Well, let's talk about the unknown here a little bit. When my family and I moved here, we faced the unknown. We faced change. I was starting a new career as a pastor. My wife was leaving her teaching job again for me. Our daughter Natalie was ending high school and about to start college, and Laura was leaving one high school and going to another. What's it going to be like there? Where are we going to live? Will we make new friends there? And that question that people always ask, will they like us there? What about this? What about that? Change. I'm sure each of you has feared change at some point in your life. Maybe just fear of the unknown. What is it that you fear? Do you fear physical pain? Do you fear mental suffering? Emotional anguish? Do you fear death? You think that's what the disciples feared when they were in the storm in the boat? The disciples had seen Jesus heal all kinds of people and do miracles and drive out demons. But they were not quite sure who he was, nor exactly what he came to do. So when the storm came up, they got concerned. If you think about it, many of them were experienced fishermen. This was not their first time on the water. This was not their first time in a boat. But perhaps they had never faced a storm as severe as this one before. Maybe before they had always safely gotten to shore on time, maybe just in time, before the waves got so high, the wind so strong. Perhaps they had seen wrecked boats before, maybe even floating corpses of those who had been drowned in one of those sudden fierce gales that suddenly swept off down the mountain and into the Sea of Galilee. When we visited Israel last year, we got to see the wreck of a first century fishing boat that had been buried in the mud until 1986. And one guy was walking along the shore and he saw something sticking up, and they started digging and they found this wrecked first century fishing vessel. It was about 25 feet long. It's at about 1.5 of these pews that you're sitting in. And it was maybe 7 feet wide at the beam, but it was only about 4 feet deep from the keel to the top of the gunwales. It would fit maybe 13 people, Jesus and the 12, if you squeezed them in. And there was a little raised part in the stern that you could see. I don't know that this was the same ship, the same boat that Jesus was on here, but it fits. Anyway, you could see that it wasn't a real big ship, a real big boat at all. And Mark tells us that there were other boats along here in the story. So we don't know if Jesus was with just the 12 or if they were all in the same boat or not. But picture it, it's been a long day. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus has been teaching by the lakeshore, and you've heard the teachings the last couple of weeks. And there was such a large crowd on the lakeshore, on the shoreline, that Jesus got into a boat and spoke from there. So Jesus has been telling these parables. He's talking about the kingdom of God, the reign and rule of God to the crowd assembled on the shoreline. And now, finally, evening has fallen. The crowd on shore has been sent home. And Jesus says to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Let's go to the other side of the lake, the Gentile side of the lake. And Jesus settles down for a nap on the cushion in the stern. Maybe now they're in a boat that's owned by Peter and Andrew. Or maybe it's a boat owned by Zebedee, the father of James and John. We don't know. But we do know that there's at least 4 experienced fishermen along with them. All of them have been sailing the Sea of Galilee daily as long as they've been able to pull on a rope or dip an oar. They've sailed these waters many times. They know it like the back of their hand. The risks are known. The experienced hands are in control. Just like you're in control of your life, right? You know exactly what's going on, what's going to happen later. We've been through these waters before. I know, like, tomorrow, like the back of my hand. Or do you? Suddenly, a tempest arises. The word that we translate as storm here is in the Greek. It's the same word as whirlwind. The same word that Job uses. The voice of the Lord came to him out of the whirlwind. Well, this is a whirlwind. Jeremiah 32 talks about the storm of God's wrath coming down from the ends of the earth. Uses the same word. It's a word of violence and destruction. What comes to mind for you when you hear the word tornado or hurricane or gale? Well, this is a storm, as Mark reiterates. It's a storm of great wind. Picture yourself in the boat with the disciples as the storm comes. The great wind whips up the waves quickly. They start slamming against the boat. Your stomach starts getting a little queasy. And the mounting waves start crashing over the boat, which now seems all too tiny. In those circumstances, at night, the water is dark. And dark water is crashing over the boat, filling it up faster than you can bail it. And flying spray pelts your face from the wind. It stings your eyes as you search for the shoreline, which you can't see anymore. All you can see is fear. Fear in the eyes of the experienced fishermen, the experienced boatmen. You know you're in trouble. You're helpless. And you face the unknown. In fact, you face death and the watery darkness. So someone rouses Jesus. Somehow, he's still sleeping in the stern, unconcerned. Think about it. Do you wake someone so they don't drown in their sleep? Well, they woke him. Do they hope that somehow he can help? What can the carpenter do that the sailors can't do? Or will this awakened prophet be awakened just to be thrown overboard like Jonah was? So they say to him, Teacher, you do care that we're going to perish, don't you? So Jesus wakes up. And of all things, think about it. Mark says, he stands up. Who stands up in a boat that's about to sink, that's being tossed and turned like that? Who stands up? Jesus stands up. He stands up and he talks to the sea and the wind. He says, this is my translation. He says, shut up and be silent. That's the way it sounds in the Greek. He literally tells them, become and remain muzzled. Perfect passive, which you almost never see in Greek. Perfect passive. Become and remain muzzled. And what happens? Immediately, the wind stops. And immediately, the sea becomes calm. Think about that. Have you ever seen the sea going like this, big waves and swells, and then immediately smooth as glass? It doesn't happen. It always takes time for the waves to diminish, right? No, this time it's perfectly calm immediately. You might say as calm as it was when it was first created. Now, Jesus turns and addresses not the wind, not the waves. He turns and faces his disciples. And he says to them, why are you so cowardly? Do you not yet have faith? Why are you so cowardly? Do you not yet have faith? Jesus asks us the same question here today. Well, Mark says how the disciples reacted. He says they were filled with great fear. Now they're afraid. They say to one another, who then is this that both the wind and the sea obey him? Whoa. Now they're afraid of who's in the boat. Not what's outside it, but who's in it. Great fear. Great fear. Just as the wind had been great, just as the calm had been great, now the fear is great. This is the great fear. The fear of standing as a sinful person before the holy seat of God Himself. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I submit to you that all of our fears are really based on this great fear. I submit to you that all our fears of change, our fears of the unknown, our fears of pain, fears of suffering and anguish, our fear of whatever secret we have getting out, even our fear of death, which incorporates all the other fears. All of our fear is because we know deep down that things are not as they're supposed to be. We seem to know deep down inside of us, when we're calm and not distracted, or when we're so distracted by the things that we fear, we know that we live in a cursed world. We know deep down that there's consequences to be paid for our sins. Every fear that we have that haunts us is deep-seated knowledge of our own fallenness, the consequences of sin. And our fear that those consequences are going to catch up to us, or maybe have caught up to us. That's why the disciples feared a great fear. A fear even greater than the fear of death that they had just a few minutes before. Standing before the holiness of the Creator God. But brothers and sisters in Christ, listen to this. What does Jesus call into question? Besides their faith. He calls into question their fear. He says, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? You see, this event, it shows not just who Jesus is, and it shows that. The Son of God, who was there at the beginning when the sea was created, who was there when the limits were set on the sea, thus far shall you come and no farther. Jesus Christ was there. The Son of God was there. That's who He is. We're supposed to get that from this story, from this event. But it also shows why He came. You see who Jesus is and you see why He came. He came to save. He comes to go to the cross to save. He comes to go to the cross to save you and me from that great fear, that fear of death, that fear, that honest fear of facing God the Father as a sinner. He comes to save you from that fear. He comes to save you from that fear of that secret of yours being found out, because He knows it. And He stands next to you. You might say He's in the same boat you're in. And He stands. He stands up. Crazy thing. He stands up in the tipsy-topsy boat that you're in. And He takes all of that risk of what you fear, of falling off the boat into the water. He takes that fear upon Himself for you. He comes to save you. He goes to His death to save you. so that you know who He is, what He's come to do for you. He is the Son of God. He's come to save you, to bring you forgiveness. Forgiveness wipes away that sin that you have. And with forgiveness comes life and salvation. Life so that you don't need to fear that second death. Life that offers you eternal life. Salvation not just from a watery death, but salvation that offers you life in heaven with God forever. And life again on His created earth, redeemed and made perfect again through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you know who Jesus is. You know what He's done. He's come here to save you. In Jesus' name, amen.